Chapter 79. What We Do for Fun. Apparently, the boy who lived having an apprenticeship was news. Harry found this out when it turned up in the Daily Prophet, below the fold with a scowling picture of Snape. Everyone, absolutely everyone, had an opinion on it. Ron and Neville wanted to know if he was feeling okay. Professor McGonagall wanted to know if it was the Prophet just making things up again, and got quite a pinched look when Harry admitted, sheepishly, that he'd accepted Professor Snape's offer. The Prophet wanted to know if it was a good idea for an unstable young man to add another responsibility to his overburdened shoulders. The DA mostly thought it took up far too much of Harry's time, which Harry didn't argue with. Even Hagrid hesitantly asked about it. Harry, who was beginning to get the strong impression no one in the whole school knew how he felt about Professor Snape, mumbled something about potions being interesting. The only person who did not seem to have an opinion on Harry's apprenticeship was Professor Snape, who was too busy having an opinion on Harry's knife skills, attention span, occlumency, and general timekeeping. "I will not be shown up by Minerva McGonagall," Professor Snape hissed at him over a cloudy potion that stunk of regret and elderberries. What does Professor McGonagall have to do with it? She has decided that if one of us can take a Hogwarts student as an apprentice, she can too. She's chosen Draco Malfoy. Harry's jaw dropped. "So you," purred Snape, "will be the best apprentice this school has ever seen. Start again." "Can't we go back to worrying about murderous madmen?" Harry asked plaintively. "Start again." So Harry did. Time sped by. Harry had thought he was busy before, but it was nothing. Nothing to the amount of time he lacked now. He wasn't that fond of sleeping right now anyway, so he skipped it as much as possible and scraped together a few hours to care about the Gryffindor Quidditch team, which was terrible. Hogsmeade weekend came and went. Harry gave an interview to Rita Skeeter about Voldemort for the Quibbler and was once again on Professor Umbridge's short list of people to deal with by any means necessary. He occluded with such fierce clarity that he and Professor Snape could get through an hour's worth of practice without Harry breaking down at the end into a horrible mess of jagged mental edges. Cho Chang was very pretty. Harry fell asleep and dreamed of Voldemort and Rookwood. Voldemort was angry enough at first that he didn't notice Harry was there. And then he did, as Rookwood was leaving.
"Oh, I should mind my temper, shouldn't I, Harry? Yes, I'm more and more pleased that I have minded my temper with you."
Harry decided he needed to wake up. Now! He woke up screaming. On Ron's urging, he told Professor Snape about his failure to occlude in his sleep. It did nothing for Snape's temper, which did nothing for Harry's temper, which led, inevitably, to Harry accidentally ending up in his professor's mind. Watching a memory of his professor crying as a child, Harry remembered with frightening clarity the time he and Professor Snape had almost talked about Snape's father. "Again," Professor Snape said, as if nothing at all had happened. This time they both fell into Voldemort's mind, in their disarray and emotional turmoil. They were in a corridor, blue light beneath the door.
"Hello, children," Voldemort said.
They weren't in a corridor at all. Voldemort was sitting in a library with a small, crackling fire in the fireplace. A book of fairy tales was open in his hands.
"Does someone have an explanation for this?"
Neither Harry nor Snape seemed in a hurry to volunteer something.
"Harry, there is a prophecy about you stored in the Department of Mysteries. Severus, please stop trying to cram an entire lifetime into a few months. The child needs time to breathe. Take him somewhere and do something fun. He has little enough time. You do not need to spend it all going blind in a potions laboratory. Good night.
Harry was standing in Snape's office. Snape was staring at him. A woman screamed outside, and they were both diverted by investigating what turned out to be Professor Trelawney being sacked. Professor Snape was wearing a hat. Harry knew that, technically, many people sometimes wore hats. But Harry was still having a hard time with Professor Snape wearing a fuzzy winter hat. It looked like something he'd stolen from Dobby. The professor was also wearing a winter cloak, but that was slightly more normal.
Professor? Harry asked, staring at him. We are going out, Potter. Here.
Professor Snape handed over a dark green winter cloak. Harry stared at this, too. There were a few things he noted about it. First, Professor Snape had handed him something. Second, it was an item of clothing associated with Professor Snape that wasn't black. Third, Harry was very confused.
I'm very confused.
Come along, idiot. We are going collecting in the forest. If you are very unlucky, you will be eaten. But perhaps you should avoid dying of chill first.
Harry took the hint and put the cloak on. What followed was very strange. They trudged out of the school, Professor Snape eating up the ground in long, flowing strides, past the bounds of the forest. A Lumos spell lit the way. Professor Snape conjured a basket from nothing and handed it to Harry without a word. Then, without a word, Professor Snape pounced a mushroom growing on one of the trees near the edge of the forest, and the mushroom tried to run away. Harry yawned his way through cowardly fungus, pulling fur from a badger by hand. Professor Snape let him wrestle the badger, and harvesting cress from a freezing stream before he said,
Oh, it's the dark of the moon, isn't it?
Finally, the light dawns, Professor Snape said. We are waiting until midnight when the flowers open, but there's no reason not to pass the time productively.
Harry, who could find patterns when they smacked him in the face, said,
This is what you do for fun?
If you're good, I'll let you harvest venom from a rare viper that lairs near here.
Harry was not sure he understood Snape's definition of good, but Harry tried to be quick and not fall asleep, and it did end up with him spending the witching hour wrestling with a magic viper that didn't appreciate being woken at midnight. As Harry pressed the snake venom from the small sponge into the waiting crystal vial, Harry considered whether or not his friends would think Harry's definition of fun was a little strange.
Can we do this again?
He asked his teacher.
When the moon is full.
Harry, who hadn't been entirely aware that potions mastery included a dose of adventuring, felt abruptly reconciled with his own career choices.